All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-host Bruce Gunther and John Enns. Boys, what's going on? The countdown. Okay, the countdown. Yeah, John, sorry. You were wrong. I don't know what else to tell you.
Everyone's thrown.
Well, mine just shaking. It started at 6, and then all of a sudden it went to 306. I don't know.
I don't concern myself with these things. It works, so we're good.
It's a bunch of crazies over here.
Oh, kind of like this week, hey, with all this hockey talk.
Oh, yeah, another exciting week of hockey.
Well, okay, this week, it seems odd. We're not doing Seattle Kraken roster predictions or anything super crazy. We're just going to spend some time going through the hockey news and then actually digesting and giving our thoughts on the Kraken roster. So I know we all have lots to say on the Kraken roster, good and bad. But before we do that, let's kind of get through the news here first and talk about some of the fun stuff that happened this week. So the big story, I guess, was Luke Prokop. He came out as the first openly gay NHL drafted player. I believe he's a Nashville Predators prospect. And which junior team is he playing for again? I can't remember. I should know this. But anyway, it's a good story.
Very good story.
Yeah, I we're kind of at a place in time where it really shouldn't matter, right? Like it just
shouldn't matter.
That's
exactly.
Great. It shouldn't matter, but you know, he's the first one to do it, and that's why it's a big story, right? So not in any way fantasy related, but kind of a story you can't really ignore this week. So any thoughts on that, guys?
No, it's a good story. They used to, like you said, it shouldn't be a thing, but it's still, for some people it's still a thing, but it shouldn't matter. You play hockey, your team, your family, that's,
yeah, well said.
So it should be.
All right. You know, yesterday we had a lot of, it was a pretty exciting morning. The Seattle expansion draft picks were leaked, pretty much all of them by
noon. Frank Saravelli show.
Yeah, the Frank Saravelli show. Friedman was in on a little bit of that. But yeah, people were just kind of shaking their fists yesterday, right? They were just like, man, I wanted to watch the draft live and you just ruined it for me.
Ron Francis is his least favorite person.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah.
If you listen to the 31 Thoughts podcast that came out this morning, Elliot said that it is the most hate he's ever received through DMs in his career after yesterday.
I did listen to that. And, you know, but then he also said something along the lines of, and I'm not, it's not a direct quote, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said the NHL needs to change the way they do this. Like he was kind of putting it on the NHL to say they need to release the teams need to release the list closer to the actual reveal, right? And because he said otherwise news is going to get leaked. And while that's a fair point, I think the insiders could maybe just not leak the information. I mean, that's part of it too, but that's their job and they're trying to do their job. But I mean,
there was a few people that insinuated that the person leaking the information worked for the NHL, not for any of the teams.
Yeah.
He was working at the central registry at the NHL, sorry. Because, coming fast
who
and
knows?
Furious there for a while.
Who knows? But anyway, so lots of stuff happened there. You know, the big one, obviously, for us as Oilers fans was Adam Larson signed a four-year, $16 million deal, $4 million AAV, and he'll be a UFA in 2025. He's got a no-trade clause for the first two seasons, and then the last two seasons include a modified no-trade where Larson provides a 10-team list. So he became Seattle's pick from the Edmonton Oilers. I was pretty down about that yesterday. You know, you guys, what do you think? How about it?
It's a huge loss for the Oilers, right? So the Oilers have lost Klefbom. So there's, basically from what's being said, he's not playing again. His career is basically over from what we understand. Now you lose basically Larson. Mm-hmm. So you're losing, like, basically, arguably, your first and second best defensemen off your team are now gone. Like, it's a huge loss for the Oilers on the ice and off the ice, too.
And you know, we all were worked up about the Duncan Keith trade, or some people were worked up about the Duncan Keith trade. I always maintain that if you had Adam Larson on the right side next to Duncan Keith, it mitigates some of the the issues or potential issues. But now you don't even have that as a safety net, right? So
no,
that right side for next year right now is Bear and Bouchard. And if they do re-sign Tyson Barrie, like that to me is not, that's not going to cut it defensively.
There's no one there that has, like Keith said himself, he plays an aggressive style of defense. You need someone there to back him up, right? So, because if he goes out there, you need someone to be there. And those, one of those, well, Bear maybe to more extent than the other two, but even Bear is, he's only been playing, let's say we got his third full NHL season.
I think so.
So that's a tough ask for even the third year to play a position like that. So,
well, you saw how he struggled in his second year, right?
Yeah. They've got two big holes to fill now. Really big holes. Yeah.
And then, of course, I was all amped up. I was thinking Dougie Hamilton was going to come after Frank Cervelli said, you know, the Oilers were the dark horse to pick up Dougie Hamilton. And then Ken Holland got online and started and he shit all over that, right? So, don't understand, other than, you know, cap issues, I don't understand why you wouldn't give that some consideration.
Well, when you set the bar low, it's easy to make jump over expectations, right? So if he comes out and craps all over it and all of a sudden they sign it, he looks like a genius. So it's...
Yeah. John, does Dougie Hamilton pass the John Enns test?
Dougie Hamilton does pass the John Enns test.
Actually?
He does. He's, I don't know, the big brute of a defenseman. That's kind of one of the main qualifications to be a good defenseman in my books. You got to be big. You got to be able to manhandle guys out there, and you got to play a physical game. And I think Dougie Hamilton checks that off, and you need defensemen to play defense. You got to rely on your forwards for offense, and you got to have defensemen that can play defense. You can't just have offensive defensemen and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So Hamilton had 42 points this year in 55 games, 10 goals. I believe he led, just checking this right now, on Dauber Frozen Tools. Shots on goal. So he led all NHL defensemen with 180 shots on goal last year. Followed by Jacob Chychrun at 176 and Shea Theodore at 161 and then Darnell Nurse at 154. So if you sign Dougie Hamilton, if he plays on the right side and Nurse plays on the left, or, you know, first and second pairing, whatever, you've got two defensemen in the top four and shots on goal, right? So high event players, physical, big, that's what you need, right? And trying to come in, I like Tyson Barrie for what he does offensively, but defensively it's a concern, so... let's not beat that one to death too much, but big loss for the Oilers. The other signing that was announced was Jamie Oleksiak. He signed a 5-year, $23 million deal with a $4.6 million AAV. He'll be a UFA in 2026. It does include a no trade clause for the first three seasons. Then the last two seasons, it does include a modified no trade. Oleksiak is going to provide a 16 team list at that point. So he became Seattle's pick for the Dallas Stars. Again, frustrating for Oilers fans because there's a lot of talk that maybe he was coming to Edmonton or potentially, right? He was a target for the Oilers anyway.
Yep.
And some Oilers reporters were thinking, well, that'd be a great second pairing, right? Jamie Oleksiak and Adam Larson. And lo and behold, it is, but now they're in Seattle. So any thoughts on Jamie Oleksiak? I mean, John, he's big. He's 6'7".
Yeah. Yeah. No. Only thoughts I've got is it's a good pickup for Seattle. Not a whole lot else there to say. He's a solid
reasonable contract.
Yeah, exactly. They got a pretty good defensive team going on there in Seattle.
Yeah, we can talk about that more when we get down to
the
roster. But yeah, no, for sure. The other big signing there was Chris Drieger, signed a 3-year deal. This one had been out for days. We kind of knew it was coming, but 3 years, $10.5 million, $3.5 million AAV, which brings him to UFA status in 2024. It includes a modified no trade clause for all three seasons, and he provided a 10-team list for the trade. So then things got, that was on the 21st yesterday. And then of course things got interesting today. Kind of the biggest head scratcher for me is this Carolina Hurricanes trade. They sent Alex Nedeljkovic to the Detroit Red Wings for a 2021 third round pick and the negotiating rights to Jonathan Bernier. Woof.
Yeah, exactly. Woof. What the hell were they thinking?
Did you see the quote from Steve Yzerman?
Basically, no. Telling him he fleeced him.
you didn't see it, Bruce?
I didn't see it, no.
Oh, so some reporter asked him, like, why do you think that that Carolina felt comfortable making that trade? And like the quote from Yzerman is, well, you'll have to ask him why he was comfortable making that trade. Because obviously, like, and there's just a picture, it was a meme of Steve Yzerman laughing, but.
Yeah. Because really, like that, like, yeah, that's so huge. It's a small sample, right? But still, like, holy crap, man. Like,
well, how much did we talk about Nedeljkovic in past episodes, right? About how good he was and how we thought, even before the Calder Trophy nominees were announced, that we thought he'd be in the running, right? Like, obviously, yeah. We knew it was kind of going to Kaprizov, but we thought this guy could be a dark horse. And his numbers were really good this year. Granted, he plays on a good Carolina Hurricanes team, right? But
yeah.
The other thing I heard about this was that, and I think I was telling you earlier, Bruce, the offer apparently or allegedly from Carolina was 1.5 per season.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And yeah, so you can imagine why he wanted nothing to do with that and why he signed a 2-year contract or it was announced immediately after the trade was announced. So some good work here from Steve Yzerman. In terms of fantasy, it's obviously going to hurt Nedeljkovic's value for next season, going from the Carolina Hurricanes to the Detroit Red Wings. He's going to be in tough for wins. But mind you, Bernier and Thomas Greiss both managed to maintain decent peripherals last year in Detroit. So
they may not get a ton of wins, but they kept they sold a few games for Detroit too, and they kept him in close. It was never like they got supremely blown out in a lot of those games. So,
yeah. So in categories leagues, like I would not hesitate at all to pick up Nedeljkovic. I'm not going to reach for him really early, but still a valuable goaltender in fantasy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And manages Timer. They've got Greiss under contract too, so they can split them 60-40 or whatever it is. He'll he'll do well there.
Oh yeah. And they're a rebuilding team they're going to get better, right?
He's one of the few players that actually has a contract through the end of 22-23.
Yeah, Detroit. Okay, the Philadelphia Flyers, they traded Shane Gostisbehere to Arizona along with a 2022 second round pick and a 2022 seventh round pick. The return for the Philadelphia Flyers was nothing.
Cap space.
Yep.
This was Lou Lamoriello 2.0, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, like, Philly hasn't been happy with Gostisbehere for a while, right? He's
since his second season.
He was scratched a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a stretch because I picked him up on waivers last year, and he was playing really well. I think he put up a couple goals in a three game span or something, and then they benched him the next game. Like he was playing well. They played him 22 minutes a game or something, and then they just scratched him. So I think they've just kind of had it in their mind that they're done, they're over it. And then when they traded for Ryan Ellis, I think the writing was kind of on the wall there.
I wouldn't be surprised if he actually does well in Arizona. There was something I had heard a while back when he entered his second season, there were some coaching changes. And apparently one of the coaches that was let go was one that he was really close with. And it almost sounded like it affected him greatly, and he's never been the same player since then.
Hmm.
And then his knee injury too, right? Didn't help matters at all. So
no,
he played for a while on a bad knee.
Yeah, I mean, I think this will be good for the player. He's going to get a fresh start.
Yeah, lots of opportunity in Arizona.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to be playing behind Chychrun, and they want to move Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I don't know if it happens before the season starts, but if it does, then for sure he's got lots of opportunity there.
Oh.
Is Chychrun a lefty or a righty?
That I don't know.
Let's just take a look. He shoots left. And I believe Gossespierre shoots right. So, you know, there could be a chance there he plays a chicken or he plays on that second pair. But either way, he can't be any worse off than he was in Philly. So I'd say, you know, in terms of fantasy value, that's a definite bonus for him.
Mm-hmm.
The Calgary Flames, they acquired Tyler Pitlick from the Seattle Kraken. So he was a member of the Kraken for all of 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it was, not very long at all. Good pickup for Calgary, I think. Not mm-hmm. fantasy relevant, but he's just a good fourth line depth player. He's got a good shot. He plays with some grit.
And he's
not
fast.
Much more to say there. And he's fast, yeah. So good for the Flames, the Kraken, whatever. They're just kind of doing what they want to do, I guess.
Yeah. Remember from his time from the Oilers, it's like I was sad to see him go.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had injury issues with the Oilers, and that's why they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, and I think he wanted a bit more than they were willing to pay. Like at that time, before he got injured, I think he was playing well. So,
yep, he sure was.
Barclay Goodrow signed a 6-year deal for $21.9 million. So that works out to an AAV of $3.65 million. He's played well the last couple of years, right? Winning himself a couple of cups. I like the player, but not cheap, right? And the term, I think the term for me is probably the bigger concern, but what do you guys think?
It's not going to age well. I don't think it's going to age well at all.
John?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I don't think that's going to age well at all either. He's played all right, but yeah, he's nothing special. Mm. I don't know what else to say. Exactly. Yeah,
no, he's a depth player.
I don't like paying big money for depth players. It's just not my way of thinking.
No. Just do what Holland does. Sign guys for $1 million. If they don't play well, see you later. So some more trade talk here. It didn't happen today, but I mean, Elliot Friedman talked about it as well. Most of the insiders were hinting at it. But Andy Strickland, he's the St. Louis Blues ringside reporter. He did confirm that the Oilers have both a 7- and 8-year contract agreed to with Zach Hyman. Edmonton and Toronto are working to execute a sign-in trade so they can get that 8th year and keep the AAV down, which would come in at around $5 million. The salary comes in higher in the middle of the contract and includes some no-move protection, according to Strickland. So I've got mixed feelings on this. What do you guys think? Like, as a player, I like Zach Hyman. I don't love the 8-year term. He's 29 years old. Like, a lot of people are saying, is this going to be Milan Lucic 2.0? What do you guys think?
Not right away, but I would say in about 3 years, 3 to 4 years, about halfway through, it's going to be Lucic 2.0. When you play the style that Hyman does, it takes a heavy toll on your body. So he'll be good here for the first little bit, but yeah, about halfway through the deal, his body's going to start falling apart and he's going to have a tough time maintaining but then you keep in mind too, it's $5 million, right? So if he drops from your first line to your third line, is that?
I mean, it's still manageable at $5 million, right? But
yeah.
He's not a centerman either, right? So it's not like he can.
No.
It's not like you move him to the third line, he can win faceoffs for you.
Yeah.
He's a right shot, which is a bonus. I don't know. He's got 21 goals the last 2 seasons, I think, is what I read.
21 goals last year and then 15 this year.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, how do you play? The last 2 seasons, he's on a 59 point pace and a 63 point pace. I mean, next to McDavid or next to Draisaitl, like those numbers will improve. I think he could probably be counted on for 20 or 25 goals in his sleep, probably, right?
If he's playing with either one of them, yeah, he'll have no trouble hitting 60 points.
Someone mentioned today, I think it might have been John Matheson actually, but he mentioned, you know, like now you've got those two guys. You've got Nugent Hopkins on the left side and you've got Hyman on the left side, assuming this happens. And so if they want to put Draisaitl and McDavid together, they can do that. And then Nuge can move to center and play with Hyman and Yamamoto. And it gives them some flexibility now in their top six. So I think with those two lines, the way they look, that's it, to me, that's, it looks pretty good, but I still have some mixed feelings. I just don't know about the contract.
Yeah.
But in terms of fantasy, this is a big win for Hyman. Like, he's going to come in, he's going to be, I would, now mind you, he's played with some pretty good players in Toronto too, but he definitely doesn't hurt his fantasy value at all.
No, no, it does definitely. I think it actually improves his fantasy value.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No question. McDavid's a better fantasy asset, in my opinion, than Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner.
Well, if you're the guy that can pass to Marner that passes to Matthews to score the goal, if you get the secondary assist, that's the only point you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Playing on that line, you're not going to be in between the other two. It's
okay.
Yeah, I just want to say I think the biggest problem I have with that signing is just the fact that there's so many other players out there that are as good or better, and that's the one they settled for.
I would agree with that. Like, we've been talking about Landeskog. I don't know what the situation is. But okay, I'll ask you guys both. Like, if it's Landeskog or Hyman, who are you taking? Let's assume Landeskog at 7.5 times 7, or Hyman at 5 times 7.
Well, that's a dumb question. Landeskog all day, every day.
Bruce,
I don't know. I would tend to lean more towards Hyman.
Ooh.
For cap reasons or why?
Yeah.
Lame.
Well,
yeah.
He's a left winger, right? So yeah, he was a captain. You play him off of, you take Landeskog away from Rantanen and McKinnon, what can he do by himself? Like, when they move, what were his stats when he was moved off that line? They showed Hyman's stats when he was playing away from Marner and Matthews, and it didn't change a whole lot.
Yeah, I saw that same stat. And that's a fair point, right? It was, he can produce offense on his own, it sounds like.
I just, and, that extra $2.5 million, that extra $2.5 million, you can do something with that.
Well, that could be your third line center if you can get one cheap enough.
Because I think if you were to put Landeskog in that spot, I don't think his point totals are going to be any different. He's a bigger name, so yeah, he's going to need more money, but I don't think his point totals are going to be any different.
I guess one thing I'd look at is he hits a lot more. So again, if you look at it from a fantasy perspective, Landeskog for me all day is the more valued asset. But I do think Landeskog, he's a more aggressive player. Like, he hits more and I think he fights more. But I don't know. From everything I've heard, Hyman very much is the same way, right? He's a gritty player too, so I don't know. I would tend to lean Landeskog. I'm kind of with you, John, but the cap savings are nice too. So doesn't matter, because I don't think we're going to get Landeskog. Or, well, if this is true, we're definitely not. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say at this point, it pretty much looks like Landeskog will sign back in Colorado. That's my guess. But
yeah,
I think that's where he'll end up. Sakic is just playing tough.
Yeah,
but yeah, he'll end up going back.
He's patient. He's got to be the most patient GM in the league.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Okay, so with that, guys, that's kind of the hockey news here for the week. I'm just going to mention really quickly some of the Seattle expansion dates or important dates. So we've got the NHL entry draft coming up here on July 23rd, tomorrow night. Seattle holds the second pick overall. Rounds 2 through 7 will happen on the 24th. July 26th is the deadline for qualifying offers. The 27th is the first buyout period ends at 5 p.m. Eastern. And a team's ability to offer an 8-year max deal to its own pending UFAs expires on the 27th. And then, of course, free agency starts on July 28th. So that's kind of the day we're all circled on our calendar. We're waiting to see what happens. So with that, let's go through the Seattle expansion or the draft. And we'll just go alphabetically here. So first off is the Anaheim Ducks, Hayden Fleury. I think this was kind of the expected pick, right, guys? We all sort of had him down as our pick there in the mock drafts.
Yeah.
again, not a whole lot to say there.
He's not going to be
bottom pairing defenseman.
He's not going to be fantasy relevant.
Nope. So we'll kind of just breeze past that one. Pitlick again from Arizona, but then he got traded to Calgary, so he's gone. I guess the first maybe potentially relevant one is Jeremy Luzon from the Boston Bruins. So a 24-year-old left shot defenseman played nearly 19 minutes per game for the Bruins last season. He only finished with 9 points in 41 games. So this is a guy you're kind of looking at, you know, if he can help in peripheral categories, you know, block shots, hits, whatever. We'll talk about this more. I kind of wanted to go through at the end and we can kind of grade our thoughts on it. But like Buffalo Sabres, William Borgen. You know, there's... Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
I had to Google him.
Yeah, me too.
There were a lot of picks for the Seattle Kraken that I was just like, oh, who? Like, and I feel like all three of us, we follow it pretty closely. Like, we know a lot of the players. This one, I'm just like, okay, sure, whatever, Will Borgen. Carolina Hurricanes pick, Morgan Geeky. This one surprised me. Like, I really thought he was going to take Jake Bean.
Yeah.
So did I.
And that's a guy that would have been fantasy relevant, if not this year, then, you know, in the next year or two. He's a young player who by all accounts should be running your power play in 2 years, but They opted to go for Morgan Geeky, and I just don't understand the logic there. But
yeah, see, if I would have been Seattle, I would have taken Bean, and then I would have tried flipping him.
Well, I thought they were going to take Bean and then try and sign Hamilton. Because then you would have been set for now and set for the future. But Calgary Flames, no surprise here. Mark Giordano, Norris Trophy winner from 2018. He's not an elite defenseman at this point in his career, but he brings a lot of experience. He had a really, really good season in 2018 when he won that Norris Trophy. Yes. John, you and I are talking. He didn't seem thrilled to be joining the Kraken.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of
excitement,
facial expressions enthusiasm going on when he was standing up there, that's for sure.
No. He looked like he was taking his buck lease because he was just like,
"Yeah,
I have to be here. They're going to pay me." But, you know, I get it. His family's in Calgary, and they're probably not moving.
No.
He's on the last year of his contract, right? So
he spent his entire career up until basically yesterday.
Yeah.
In Calgary, right? So it's...
Yep. And they do a lot in the community, is what I've heard. Him and his wife, they're very involved. So, yeah, that kind of sucks for him, right? He's going to be spending all his time by himself for the next season, basically. Huh.
And the thing is, like they were saying, Seattle's asks for Seattle not to pick Giordano was a first and a third for a guy on the last year of his contract that's 37. Yeah. Are you going to give up a first and a third to keep him? Probably
no. No. That was a pretty steep asking price.
Yeah.
Chicago, the pick was John Quenneville. You know, he's got 42 NHL games since turning pro in 2016. Kind of a wash. Yeah. Not much there to say. Same thing here with the Columbus Blue Jackets. They picked up Gavin Bayreuther. Again, a guy that I've never heard of, honestly. He's a 27-year-old. He played an average of 15 minutes a game last season. Really not fantasy relevant, not newsworthy. I just, some of these picks I shake my head at. Colorado's pick was Jonas Donskoy. So this one, again, I actually do think could be fantasy relevant.
Me too.
He was kind of a middle six guy in Colorado. I would say in Seattle, he probably can play in your top six, at least based on who's on the roster currently, right?
Yep. Yeah, currently he's definitely top six.
Yeah. Yeah, he had 31 points in 51 games for the Avalanche last season. He had a stretch there too where he was hot, like for 10 or 12 games.
Well, when McKinnon was out.
Yeah, so I think he was playing in the top six for a stretch there, and I guess given the opportunity, he might be fantasy relevant. Could be someone you pluck off the waiver wire early in the season, but definitely keep an eye on him. As we mentioned, the Dallas Stars, Jamie Oleksiak was the pick there.
Penny's brother, I like that.
Yeah, Well, that's kind of how he was known for a long time, right? And
well, yeah, right. Especially, yeah.
When they finally made it to the Cup final, he got some recognition. But before that, it was basically yeah, he was Penny's brother.
Yeah.
A little bit of a surprise: Dennis Cholowski getting selected by the Red Wings.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
Added to their blue line depth, anyway.
I figured they'd go with the veteran Stetcher as opposed to.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did, right?
Yeah.
The Oilers picked up Larson, as we'd mentioned. Or, sorry, the Seattle picked up from the Oilers, Adam Larson, and then from Florida, Chris Drieger. Again, another head-scratcher for me. The Los Angeles Kings selection was Curtis McDermott. So I guess there's a theme. It seemed to be, it almost felt like they're stocking up their AHL roster.
Yeah.
It almost seems that way.
Right? Like, we'll take this guy. He's a journeyman AHLer, and he's big, so we'll throw him in the AHL when we're done. Like, whatever. Carson Soucy from the Minnesota Wild. 26-year-old. He played 50 games for the Wild last season, put up 17 points. So, again, not super fantasy relevant, but that was the pick. I think that in total they took, was it 12 defensemen? I think that's the number I read.
Yeah. I think Susie will be one of those defensemen that doesn't actually end up putting on a Wild or a Kraken jersey. I think he'll get flipped.
It very well could be the case. This one again, Cale Fleury from Montreal. Outside of being Hayden's brother, I'm not really sure. Like, he's got 41 games of NHL experience, so and he spent all of last season in the AHL. So I don't really know what the upside is or the reasoning for that pick, but Nashville was Cali Yarncroke, Cali boy, as Marshawn Lynch likes to say. good pick there, I think. Should have some offensive upside.
He could be a surprisingly fantasy relevant for Seattle.
Yeah. Nathan Bastian, again. This one, I think a lot of people, John, was it you or Bruce in the mock had Bastian as your pick?
I know I picked him.
Yeah.
Must have been, it wasn't me.
Yeah. Probably the big pick here was Jordan Eberle from the New York Islanders. So I've got the note here, like they shouldn't have protected Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck, maybe. Like Eberle's a far better offensive player. He puts up 20 goals and 50 points in his sleep for most seasons. So, and at a reasonable cap hit at $5 million a season. So I'm a little bit surprised they elected not to protect him, but that's the Kraken's game. So yeah, he should do well. What do you guys think? Like, is he going to be, like, is he over or under 55 points next year? If he stays healthy.
I think he'll go over.
I'm going to agree.
The Pacific Division sucks.
Well, yeah.
Because you know how many goals he's going to put against the Oilers if they put they roll Smith and Koskinen? Like, he's just going to smile as he does laps around the arena. Like, it's... I think Eberle's going to do well there. The West is... Or the Pacific Division's... It's going to be the weakest division in the NHL. I think I don't think he'll have any trouble putting up 55 points.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say he's probably, like, I would take the over on 25 goals.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure it would.
So, yeah, okay, cool. The Rangers pick was, from the Rangers, was Colin Blackwell. We all kind of expected that one.
No surprise.
No surprise there. This one, I guess, was a bit of a surprise. We all kind of thought it was going to be Chris Tierney, ended up being Joey Decord from the Ottawa Senators.
Don't understand that one.
No, I don't either. Like, when you need competent centermen and there's lots of other goalie prospects or picks out there, I'm not really sure. Bruce, you said he can be sent down. He's got a two-way contract, right? So he can be sent down to the AHL. But
he can move between the NHL and the AHL without waivers. So, and did a little bit of reading on him, and there's a lot of people that say that don't sleep on this guy. They say that he will challenge Vanecek for that backup role. they say this kid's that good.
Interesting.
So that he could that he could challenge Vanacek for the role. And you know what? If they do well, they can flip him too, right? Young goaltender. Like, until he got hurt in Ottawa, he was playing really well for them when Matt Murray went down and Gustafson.
Yeah. Again, another surprise here. So the Kraken took Carson Tornisky from the Philadelphia Flyers. He's a 23-year-old prospect. I don't know. Like, you've got a chance to take Voracek or Van Riemsdyk. Obviously, they value cap space more than anything at this point, but I really thought they were going to take one of those two guys. I'm surprised they took this guy. Like, he's kind of a... There's not much there in terms of actual value for this roster, so
yeah.
I found that interesting.
Yeah. I'm thinking that as we go through this and as they went through, whether there was Frank breaking them in the morning or they're doing the actual show in the evening, I think the ongoing theme here is these guys weren't going to take those big ticket guys unless the teams were willing to give up something extra for them to take them. And it's like, well, I'm not just going to pick them to free up your cap space. You're going to have to give me something to free up your cap space. And they weren't willing to do it. So they went with players that basically were going to, that could develop into something, but not.
But if they didn't, they weren't concerned.
They weren't going to help any team. Yeah, they weren't going to help them out of the cap space at all.
Yep. From Pittsburgh, they selected Brandon Tanev. You know, good, effective bottom six winger. He's got good speed. He's on a 4-year deal still. So I actually like this pick. I'm sure I'm a bit surprised actually that Pittsburgh didn't protect him given that he seems to be the type of player that Brian Burke likes. But Pittsburgh's loss, Kraken's gain.
Oh, and Pittsburgh has cap issues, right? So they're
yeah.
So this actually helps them out quite a bit by taking Tanev.
The pick from St. Louis is Vince Dunn. So I think we all like this pick. He's a young top four defenseman. He's got good underlying numbers. He was always kind of the odd man out in St. Louis, it seemed, right? He was either playing behind Pietrangelo for a while or Falk or Parayko. So now he's going to get an opportunity. Like, I think he's going to be, if he's not running their first unit power play, he'll be running the second unit power play. He'll get lots of time in the top four. He's a pick that I'm going to for sure be looking at in drafts next year.
He's going to be Seattle Shea Theodore is what I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least the closest thing to it, right?
Yeah. It may take him a couple of years like it has for Theodore, but give him a couple, 3 years. Yeah, he'll be, I think he'll be Seattle Shea Theodore.
Like, he had 20 points in 43 games this past season. Good enough for a 38-point pace. He had a stretch. Like, I picked him up once or twice on waivers, or looked at him anyway, because he had some good productive stretches there last year. Another no-name pick here. Sorry, John.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's a good pick for him. Good change for him, and good pick for the Kraken.
We've got Alexander True was selected from the San Jose Sharks. I don't have anything to say about him. Sorry, guys. Unless you do, we'll move on. The pick from Tampa is Yanni Gourde. So I really like this pick. He's unfortunately, he just had surgery, right? So he's going to miss the start of the season coming up here. But he was always playing on the third line in Tampa, and his numbers were still really good. And he's going to do great in Seattle, I think. So for sure a guy I'm still looking at in drafts next year. What do you guys think?
No, definitely. Most definitely. He's going to get a chance to showcase himself here. And I think he's going to surprise everybody.
Yeah. Johnny, any other thoughts on?
No, I just think he'll definitely take the opportunity and show everyone kind of what he's made of. And oh, good for him. He's going to get the chance he deserves.
His best season, it looks like, was in 2017-18. He had 25 goals, 39 assists for 64 points. His shot rate actually went up this year. So he's always been under 2 shots per game, but this year he actually was over 2 shots per game. So I think with more opportunity, like, His shooting percentage is averaging just under 14% the last 3 years. So he's above league average in terms of shooting percentage. If he gets more opportunity, more shots on goal, more pucks in the back of the net, right? So next is another pick I really like is Jared McCann from the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, you know, again, just hearing Dubas talk about his whole reasoning for trading for McCann and then not protecting him was that they felt they couldn't replace the defenseman they would have lost at the same salary. And I think he was referring to Justin Hall or Hall.
Yep.
So he's on a, well, maybe one of you guys want to check what his cap hit is, but.
Hall's cap hit?
Yeah.
$2 million, just over $2 million.
Okay. So there you go. So you basically said, well, we lost the seventh and the Hollander, whatever the guy's name was, you know, to protect some other guys on the roster. So they stayed 4-4 and or 4-4-1 and lost McCann. But, you know, I think this guy, he's going to be a sleeper pick for next year. Like between him and Gord, those are your top two centers at this point.
Yep.
And even if they do beef up their lineup, he's a guy that produced really well in a third line role for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So
he sure did.
Yeah. Like he could be like a Marchessault comparable, right? Or he might be someone like that, or even William Karlsson-esque. Like that's kind of, I'm not saying he's going to score 43 goals, but he's that type of pick for Seattle this year.
He could surprise. Yeah, he could surprise for sure.
From Vancouver, they selected Cole Lind. He's 22, former second round pick, and he's put up some good numbers in the AHL. A few games of NHL experience, but other than that, not much else to say. They selected Vitek Vanacek. You know, we spoke about him in the last podcast, so he's going to look really good. I think he's going to be the 1B to Chris Drieger.
Yep.
And then they took Mason Appleton from Winnipeg. So do you guys think, like, is Winnipeg, are they, like, the Dylan DeMello was the other guy that was kind of in play. Do you think they're happy to have lost Appleton as opposed to DeMello, or what are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. They've got depth at forward where they could lose Appleton and slot somebody else in there. Losing DeMello would already their defense corps were never rated very high to begin with, and then lose probably arguably their best defender to the draft. It's
yep. Yeah, that's fair.
I think they're thrilled that they managed to come out of that just losing Appleton.
All right, fair enough. So then with that, I thought let's just put a final grade on this from each of us. Bruce, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on the draft overall from Seattle?
Overall, I was pretty disappointed in terms of some of the picks and stuff like that from the players they had to choose from, but they had said from the outset that they were going to make sure they maximize their cap space, right? And basically they've done that, right? So they didn't take anybody other than basically Eberle or Yanni Gord that had over a $5 million salary.
Mm-hmm.
Like they signed Oleksiak, they signed Larson, but those deals all came in under $5 million. It's disappointing to see, but I think I understand where they're coming from. They didn't want to lock in some of those big names because some of those big names had big money and some longer term to it, and they didn't want to get stuck with that. So,
all right. Well, for me, like some of the things I had as the bad things I really wasn't happy about or not impressed with was the fact, like Jake Bean, as I said, I think that was a mistake on their part. I know Buffalo, Chicago, and Columbus didn't have a lot to offer, but it seemed to me that they really just took some no-name players. It was almost like a pass. You know, Max Domi for me is a guy, even though he is hurt and he's going to miss a couple months of the season, someone I would have considered, even at $5 million a season. The Curtis McDermott thing was silly. I think Cale Clegg would have been a good young prospect for them. Cale Fleury out of Montreal seems like an odd selection to me. Like I said, outside of being the brother of Hayden Fleury, the Joey DeCord pick. Bruce, that's good to hear that he actually is a bit of a prospect and could turn out to be something valuable for them.
For sure.
Alex True, I just shake my head at. And then, like I said, the JVR and Voracek thing in Philly was just, you've got an opportunity to get a guy who can score 30 goals on the third line in Philly. Like, I don't really care what his cap hit is. You need somebody to put a puck in the back of the net, right? So that was the bad for me.
It just shows that I think Francis has decided to play the long game, right? He's not gonna be like Vegas and try to shoot for the Stanley Cup in the first season. Although that was a surprise for Vegas to do it, but he's not shooting for that here. He's gonna play the longer game.
And I get that, right? Everyone says you gotta develop the right way. You got to draft and develop players, and that's the way you're going to do it. And I get that. But you've also got a fan base. It's a new franchise. You got to give them something to cheer for, right? Like,
some of these players are going to be very much motivated because now, in a lot of the places, the teams that they were on, you look at Dunn and stuff like that, they weren't going to get a shot, not for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys now have got the opportunity to show what they can do. So you never know. The Pacific is a weak division. They could find themselves in a playoff spot very easily. They've got the defense. They've got the goaltending.
Yep.
They can win a ton of close games. They'll be in the playoffs.
So that was what I had for the good, right? Was their decor and their goaltending. I do like, so in terms of goaltending, like we've talked about Drieger in the past, right? I think he will be given the starting role. He's going to play 45 to 50 starts this year, most likely. With the decor in front of him, his peripheral should maintain too. Like, he's not going to maybe be at a 930 save percentage or 925 save percentage, but he'll be well above 910, I would think.
I think so.
Looking at the decor, like Adam Larson, he was fifth in hits last year with 166 and second in block shots behind Alec Martinez. So he's a guy, again, from a fantasy perspective, not going to put up a lot of goals or assists necessarily, but he has category coverage. Mark Giordano had that monster season in 2018-19. He had 17 goals and 57 assists for 74 points. So his three-year average numbers are a bit inflated, but he can still put up, you know, between 35 and 45 points if all goes well. His shot rates have been steady between 2.5 and 2.8 shots on goal per game the past three seasons. So lost light there. And then, like you said, Vince Dunn. He's pretty much my breakout candidate for the defenseman on that team. So my overall grade for these guys, I gave him a C-. I do like the goaltending and the defense, but the rest of the roster I'm just not thrilled with. Outside of those main forwards, Jared McCann, Yanni Gordon, Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, I would agree there. He's definitely, it looks like he's building it from basically the goaltender outright. So he's got three solid goaltenders. He's got a good defense, and the forwards are a work in progress, which really, when you're drafting and developing and stuff, the forwards are the easier ones to find than your defensemen and your goaltenders. So I think he's approached it the right way, but yeah, the forwards are going to definitely be a work in progress.
So your final grade, Bruce, what are you giving him?
I'd be as similar with you, as C-, C to C-, I would give him.
Then, John, what are your thoughts on the roster?
Goaltending, I like. Drieger Vanacek, obviously. We had them picked in our mock drafts. We liked them. I think they're going to do great. Defense, they've got some classy defensemen in there, some good defensemen. I'm a fan of that. The amount of defensemen that were drafted, no. Because I feel that the forwards are lacking in there. You do have your, I wouldn't say big name players, but your Yanni Gord, Eberle, McCann, all solid guys. I think the one thing that was just lacking for me was that flashy pick, like a Tarasenko or a JVR or something like that. Watching the draft, I was really hoping for something like that, but it just never came. Like, as I'd go from team to team, I'd think, okay, this is going to be the one, and then it wasn't, and then it'd be the next one, and then...
Nothing.
And after they went through St. Louis and Philly, I was kind of giving up on that, and yeah, no, I'd have been a lot happier if they did choose somebody, one player maybe with a big household name where you could sell some jerseys and stuff like that, but...
Carey Price, hint, hint, Carey Price.
No, I wouldn't have taken him.
I would have.
I would have thought about it. The
in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I still maintain that he could play well into the later part of that contract, if not all of it. Like,
but yeah, the tough thing to swallow with Price would have been his cap hit, right? That's the hard thing to swallow.
Yeah.
You look at the other goalies they drafted. He's got a ton of support, so he doesn't have to play 60 or 70 games, right? He can play 50 games, and the other guy can play 30 or 32, and
yeah,
it's just getting past that $10.5 million a season.
Exactly. When you're paying a guy $10.5 million, you kind of want him to play as many games as he can, but...
Yeah.
But...
basically, if you took Yanni Gore, if you took the guys they signed out... the guys that Seattle signed, Price makes more money than the rest of the roster put together.
Yeah.
I know it's
a lot. I understand it, but you're talking about a flashy pick, John, like Marc-Andre Fleury for Vegas. That he was that pick.
Exactly. That to me, you got to have those one or two guys where everybody wants to kind of flock to the store to get the name on the jersey and I'm sorry, no one's going to the store and saying, hey, I want True on my jersey.
No. Or, you know, even for that matter, like Giordano, right? That's right now is kind of their guy. Or Jordan Eberle, right? Might be their guy. Yeah. But honestly, I'm not convinced that Giordano's there beyond the trade deadline next year. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to get flipped to a contender and he won't be back. And then he might even retire next year.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too, is he's pretty much done. As far as I'm concerned, he'll have 1 year left or something like that. Or
he might go back to Calgary, right? He might play out his contract, get flipped to contender, and then in the offseason sign with them for a cheap contract.
Yeah. Just to finish off the career there.
Could very well do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Overall grade, what are you giving him, John?
So, overall, I know I said F.
You said triple F, actually.
I did say triple F, but I'll give him like a C minus minus.
No, like a D plus.
I'd give him a straight D.
A straight D.
D for defenseman. But okay. Mainly because I was really hoping for that star player, the one to really be the spotlight on the team, and it just never came. So
yeah.
I thought that was really disappointing, and I think that a lot of players were probably disappointed in that too. I thought maybe they'd feel like they were going to get the opportunity to be somewhat successful at the start, but just looking at the roster, I'm not sure that's going to happen, so...
Yeah, well, and that's the point I was trying to make earlier is you need to give your fans something to cheer for.
Yeah.
So and they don't they got some nice pieces there, but there's not that one guy. There's not the like you said the Tarasenko or somebody that's really got some cachet to sell some jerseys.
Yeah, so I'm still sticking by my reasoning that they want to tank and go for Shane Wright and Connor Bedard. So.
Yeah, and I think that's sound logic, and those are two highly touted prospects that are gonna they're generational players almost, right? Like was it Shane Wright? They got exceptional status to play
Shane Wright. Yeah, he did get exceptional status, and Bedard did too for the WHL, so
you can't fault them if that's their plan, if they want to tank for a couple years and pick up some good players, but
tanking's no good.
No. Okay, that's all I had, guys. It's kind of a, you know, we don't want to go too long on this. We just want to touch on the Seattle draft, and I guess we'll have, like I said, the NHL entry draft is happening this weekend. NHL free agency takes place on the 28th. So I think we're going to just, with scheduling and stuff, guys, we're going to be gone this, we're going to take 1 week off here, and then we'll be back kind of on the 1st of August. And we'll get into those topics, like I just said. So anything else, guys, before we sign off?
Go Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
I was just going to say that Ron Francis pretty much just basically picked my defenseman style. Big guys, throw the body around, and not a whole lot of small guys going on defense in there.
Not at all, no.
Montreal set the template, right? That's what they did in the playoffs, right? They had those four big bruising defensemen. And
yeah.
That's...
Man, it's a copycat league, right? Whatever worked for teams that made it to the cup final, well, let's just, you know, copy paste.
Yep.
Well, look at the number they did on the Oilers this year. Those four guys.
Yeah, they really struggled against Montreal this year.
McDavid and Draisaitl had a tough time playing against those guys, right? So, yeah, if they can get those four guys to work in synergy, they're going to cause fits for lots of teams in the Pacific.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, well, guys, that's going to wrap things up for the show. You know, please follow us on social media, on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks, on Twitter at FH Hacks. Check out our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. If you have any questions, comments, or otherwise, please send us an email, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. And with that, we will see you guys just after August 1st. So, John, Bruce, thanks, guys. It's fun as always. We will talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, thanks again. Good night, everyone.
Take care.